Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 10 of Marketing Elements Podcast. I have someone on the podcast today I'm really looking forward to talking to. You may have seen her on the New Media Minute or This Week in Media. It's Daisy Whitney.
Hi, Tim. How are you? I'm glad to be here.
Good. I'm glad you're here. You enjoy your podcast. I've been listening to them for a while, and they're a lot of fun. And you have a lot of good guests, especially on This Week in Media. And it's just a lot of fun. So
you thank you.
You kind of inspired me with this one a little bit, too, with that one. So I'm very happy.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and it's totally my pleasure. So I'm grateful that you asked me to be on.
Well, thank you. So what we're going to talk about today is online video and advertising. It's something that's going around today that has really good recall. If it's targeted well, and it's something that more and more people are doing, but yet content providers are starting to add more videos because they are doing what, 4 minutes for. Around 4 minutes or so for an hour?
Yeah, that's about right. That's what you'll usually find on Hulu on an hour-long show, which, of course, runs about 44 minutes, and then you add in the ads, and you've got you probably have about 4 minutes worth of ads in a show that long.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot. Obviously, not a lot. In TV, no. You'd have 16 minutes of ads.
Exactly. And then, because what I've noticed when I watch stuff on Hulu, it's just the right amount. It comes at the right time, so it's not really intrusive. And then I've noticed the recall rates seem to be higher, which I'm like, well, if you only have one ad, basically, it's usually the same company doing the ads, you'll recall it better. So that's one thing I've really enjoyed about it. It's not something that's really intrusive yet.
Well, what's interesting is that ABC has done some studies. The most recent one was about a year ago, but it's still useful. ABC.com did a study that even when it increases the number of ads, I think from 4 to 8 in a half-hour show or an hour-long show, but kind of from whatever is the standard right now to about double, that the recall rates are the same.
Oh.
And that might be because it's the same advertiser. It might be because there are a couple advertisers. I mean, obviously, if you're hearing from the same one again and again, the recall rate's going to be high. There's also the risk of it being extremely annoying because you might get sick of that advertiser. But there's certainly data out there that networks are going to hold on to as part of their justification to increase the number of ads in TV shows that you watch online. So I think we're definitely, it's just the right amount now, but I think it's almost a given that we're going to see a lot more ads in the online video shows that we watch. Or online video TV shows, I should say.
Definitely. I think that's something that's going to happen as well. But whether to be good or bad, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Because I think they're perfect right now, but, you know, you got to make money. So, and that's the main point of advertising, especially for media providers.
Well, and the CW has already doubled. About a month ago, it started doubling the number of ads in shows that it offers online. And then, you know, CBS is another network that's just been talking about it a lot more. In, you know, when its executives are doing panels and roundtables and discussions, you hear them bringing up this concept of ad load a lot more. And I think it's part of sort of a targeted, you know, PR strategy to slowly get the idea out there. Hey, guess what? Pretty soon, you're going to be see more ads in CBS shows online.
True. Yeah, because I think right now people are happy with their either no ads or limited ads. And will it really come into effect that people are going to like that? But you said you've seen the studies where it really doesn't affect. But my other question, too, is how's it going to carry over to subscription services? Because I know Hulu's been talking about doing the subscription forever, and it may actually come to fruition now. Is that going to be part of their still strategy of do ads and pay, or is it, do you think it's going to be just a subscription service kind of like HBO or Showtime where there's no ads?
Well, Hulu hasn't been, you know, commenting publicly about that. So this is sort of mostly going to be speculation, but I think informed speculation based on what I've read from, you know, really smart people who've done research on the matter. I think what we will probably see if Hulu does indeed do the subscription service, which is being called in the press Hulu Plus, that's been floated as the name, is that it would be a hybrid service. That basically right now you'll see usually the last 5 or 6 episodes of a TV show on Hulu. That's what's available. They, you know, can't have the entire archive in there. Or I don't know if it's a camp. They don't have the entire archive for most shows in there. They kind of have like rolling last 5 to 6 episodes of a show. As I understand it, those would remain available and for free via ad support. on the site, and the subscription service would be in addition to it. And with the subscription service, whatever it is, say it's $9.99 a month, that might then give you access to the entire library. If you had never seen Lost before and you're ready to sit down and watch every single episode, you know, you could pay sort of a subscription fee to do that. And in that case, probably the episodes that you watched under the subscription fee, I don't suspect would have ads in them. It would just be the ones that, you know, the last five episodes, because that's the thing consumers are really would really push back on. Nobody is wild about ads. That's just a given of human nature. I mean, it's, you know, unless they're in a fashion magazine. I love the ads in fashion magazines, but that's an exception, right? In most cases, ideally, we want everything for free. That's human nature. But people also understand, look, it's a business, and there are going to be ads. But I think the one thing that most media companies are good about is understanding that if somebody is paying for it, like a special subscription fee, there's not going to usually be additional ads. I mean, that's the value proposition of something like HBO or Showtime. And that even though you pay a subscription fee for cable service as a whole, you have cable service or satellite TV service, and there are ads in that, you know, you're paying for access to that bundle of channels. So you're going to see ads in addition to paying a subscription fee, clearly with a cable service, but it's different when you get into sort of pure paying for a specific channel or a specific set of content, like you might be doing on Hulu. I doubt you would see ads in the subscription portion.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because some I've seen floating around both, but really wasn't sure. But also with online video, do you think it's with the current information that media companies have, they can target the ads a lot better than just broadcast ads now? Because if you sign up for a Hulu account, they know basically who you are, your age range, your sex, whatnot. Do you think that's one of the advantages to online video as well?
Oh, definitely. And I think you're seeing that this is becoming even more important to marketers and to the media agencies that are placing ad buys on behalf of a lot of the marketers and brands out there. I've talked with some of the top executives at media agencies like MediaVest and Starcom, and they're very keen on the idea of targeting. I mean, there are a lot of interesting companies out there like Quantcast, Blue Kai, that do different versions of targeting for ads. With Quantcast, you can sort of drill down. If a site uses it, for instance, the site can use that data to really drill down and serve up specific and targeted audience demographics in a much more fine-tuned manner than you can on TV. With Blue Kai, that's Blue, K-A-I, that technology really helps understand kind of consumer online shopping behavior. Break Media has a really interesting deal with Blue Kai where it's kind of tying that in to better target the ads. So there's so much. It's one of the great things about internet advertising is that you can do so much more in terms of the targeting and the interactivity and the specificity than you can with TV. We're starting to see a lot of interesting implementations of that this year.
Yeah, I've noticed that with a lot of different companies, and even with friends now. I have a couple friends who watch everything DVR or TiVo. They skip all the commercials and never watch it live. And I have another friend who certain commercials he'll back up and watch, like any Apple commercial they'll watch, or anything that just like movie trailers they'll watch, but anything else they just cut out. So I think that's something really interesting that I think media companies should start paying attention to, because I know I'm big in TV and movies, and anytime anything comes on either one, I'm like, oh, what's that? Because the new Iron Man trailers are out, and what are the movies coming out this summer that I've seen so far? I always pay attention to those when I...
Well, and the key for marketers and for media companies is to get beyond that, because that's fantastic content. Those are always the most watchable of ads, you know, for video games and for movie trailers. Those are the type of ads that we don't even think of are ads. They feel like content, right? We'll seek them out online. We'll watch movie trailers again and again. And I think what advertisers need to do is sort of take a lesson from the movie companies and try to figure out, okay, what can we do to market soap? Okay, fine. It might not be as fast fascinating as the Iron Man trailer. But what are some of, you know, what are some of the things that can be done so that those type of ads become as watchable? You know, I mean, to use an example that's popular with women, I mean, the Old Spice ad with the guy riding on horseback, women watch that over and over again. It's eye candy. I mean, that's obvious, right? But, you know, but there also are certain takeaways and lessons to be learned for marketers. They have to make their ads more interesting. They have to make them more watchable so people will pass them around, because consumers want to do that. They want to share things. They want to find interesting ads and interesting content and, you know, ads that are more like content so that they can be shared.
Yeah, definitely, because I think if they do more sort of like the Super Bowl commercials, but maybe not to the extreme, some of them are, those get shared more than any other ads the whole year, that they can probably keep up better with marketing, with promoting, if they start doing something along that lines and not just make, oh, here's our ad, watch it.
And you sort of wonder if they can, if marketers can make fantastic ads for the Super Bowl, which they do, why can't they do that more regularly? Why does it have to be just once a year? I mean, I understand that there are budgets and a lot of those ads are heavy on production, but, you know, there are plenty of great Super Bowl ads that don't cost a lot of money to make. And it's really just a matter of everyone kind of needs to step up their game. You know, all year long, it's the Super Bowl. That's how advertisers should think of what they're doing. It's, you know, what can they do and how can they wisely invest their creative resources so that their ads can be watchable all the time and not skipped.
Definitely. I think a lot of them could take an example from Doritos, who gets user-generated ads as opposed to creating their own. And some of their ads over the last couple of years have been really good and bring tie into in the USA Today surveys. And I think that's a good idea to let the people who are passionate about the brand come in and create a commercial for it.
Absolutely. It's, I mean, it saves time. And I think that also speaks to, you know, another trend we're seeing is that advertisers are trying to involve their consumers more and have it be more of an active dialogue. I mean, take Pepsi, which notably pulled out of the Super Bowl this year and is sort of focusing on this Pepsi Refresh project, which is, you know, a little bit social media, a little bit community centric. But it's one that sort of invites Pepsi's customers and Pepsi's users into the conversation more. I mean, Paula Deen has got an interesting campaign going on with Philadelphia cream cheese that was put together by the agency Digitas, but that really sort of invites users to, you know, to fully participate, to create ads, to create content. And I think increasingly, not everybody wants to do that, but I think increasingly that's where you can find some of your best content. So the advertisers who are doing that are probably going to be a step ahead.
Yeah, because I know that's a trend in marketing right now, is get your really passionate fans to really go out there for you, either it's in social, video, wherever, and help you push your brand, because nothing's better than word of mouth, and that's the best word of mouth, is someone who really is passionate about you. I think Coke's done that really well with their Facebook group, because I saw them speak a couple of months ago, and they say anything negative that comes in their page, they don't even deal with it. The fans deal with it first before they do. So I think that's something that's really cool. And even smaller brands can leverage that, because there are people who love smaller brands. And it doesn't have to be 5 million people. It could be 1,000 people. So,
I mean, there's this, since you listened to This Week in Media, you've probably heard me talk about the Scrivener software. Mm-hmm. It's just basically a $40 writing studio software suite. The company that makes it is called Literature and Latte, and it's called Scrivener. I think it's fantastic. In addition to doing podcasts, I write novels. My first novel, The Mockingbirds, comes out in November from Little Brown, and I'm writing the follow-up using Scrivener. And that is a brand that I love. Like, I will talk about it on social media, and I've mentioned it, you know, I mentioned it on Twin before. And Scrivener pays attention. I mean, they listen to what people are saying about it. They regularly do blog posts saying, oh, here's the roundup of what people have said about us. And the folks at Scrivener reached out to me over email and said, we heard you talk about us on Twim. That's awesome. We want to put it on our, you know, on our about us section or whatever it was on the site. And that's the stuff that just makes me want to talk about Scrivener even more, right? Wow. Okay. They care what I have to say. They'll retweet if I tweeted them. Another example of, you know, just how important a consumer's voice has become is, you know, again, if you watch my shows, you listen to This Week in Media. Yeah, anybody who knows me well knows that I'm crazy about my dog Violet. I have this lab border collie dog. She's in, you know, in the office with me right now as I'm being good and quiet. And I got her pet insurance, you know, pet health insurance. And my experience as a customer in dealing with this company, VPI, was fantastic. They were so helpful, phenomenal service, reimbursed reimbursed very quickly when, you know, she had her shots and all of that stuff. So I tweeted about it. And, you know, later on in the day, they reached out to me, like, thank you so much for what you said. And they retweeted it. And now we're getting into a conversation about social media. Yeah. But it's what you're talking about, Tim. It's really that's what we want as consumers. You know, when we put our podcaster hats aside for a moment and just have our regular consumer human being hats on, that feels good. If we're going to use a brand or use a product or service and talk about it, it's nice to be acknowledged by the company we're talking about, isn't it?
Definitely. I've had something similar happen on my blog because I wrote up, because social media analytics and monitoring can be get very expensive. So I wrote up one, here's how to do it on a budget. And I wrote it, once you get making more money, Omniture, who does the big listening program, I was like, go with a bigger one that'll allow you more tools. And they actually posted a comment, well, thanks for mentioning us. Because it wasn't like, oh, don't use them. But it's like, here's what you use until you get to this level. And they were just like, hey, thanks. Granted, they're in the business of listening to social media, but still, it was like, oh, cool.
It's validating. It's very validating because it shows that people are listening. It shows that the companies are listening and the brands are listening when we are out there talking.
Yes. It would just blew me away that day. I was like, wow, okay. Even though you're in this business, I didn't think you'd actually be monitoring all the time and reading everything, but I guess they are as a company, which is really good.
And people are reading your blog. It's another thing that makes us happy as content creators.
That makes me very happy because it's like, okay, when you get started, I had friends tell me about blogging and podcasting. And I know it's like, it takes it a little while to take off because you want to be the best one out there. But I'm like, okay, you just have to keep going at it. Because I've told that to other friends who blog. I was like, it's not going to be overnight. You have to get out there. You have to promote it. You have to meet people. You have to do a lot of different things. So I was like, so when someone does this, like, yes. So yeah, I'm very happy. And I'm sure you know that as well, doing your stuff as well. It's not just, you don't get overnight success anymore. You just have to keep at it.
Well, it takes a long time. I've been doing the New Media Minute for almost 3 years now. Obviously, views have gone up over that time. Recognition of it has gone up. But yeah, it's something where, you know, we just knew going into it, this is going to be, you know, improve on the job every day, every week type of venture. And it has been. But, you know, and that's what something that, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, we talked about before we started this show. I mean, he really kind of pounds on that belief, is that, you know, this is what you want to do. You have to keep doing it. You have to do the work, right? I mean, that's what it is. It's you going out there and doing your blogging and reaching out to people and lining up interviews. And, you know, for TWIM, it's okay. Every Monday, you got to show up.
Yep.
You know, yep. It's the only way to do it. People always want to know sort of what the secret is. You know, what's the secret to writing a novel when you have a day job? What's the secret to, you know, to putting out a podcast? Well, you know, a lot of it is just elbow grease.
Yep.
You know, I mean, obviously there's talent involved, but, you know, I think people want there to be a silver bullet, but what it really comes down to is actual, you know, it's actual work. And that's what it is for brands as well. If you're a brand, and kind of tie it back to the online video and social media conversation, you know, if you're a brand, it's doing the smart work with the creative. It's really making sure, you know, doing something like the Evian Babies campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, that viral video campaign, it starts with the creative. Okay, let's find something that's really going to engage consumers, you know, make them smile, make them happy, tie it into the, you know, sort of Evian's marketing message of, you know, live young, and, you know, and then really go out and seed it and provide both paid and earned media to support it.
Exactly. And I had the first person I interviewed on my podcast was a guy named Chris Jordan, who does videos about insurance. And it may sound boring, but he really took a different spin on it. And I'm like, wow, these are good. So I was talking to him about doing stuff. And he's like, well, do it. He goes, go look at Gary Vaynerchuk's first video. He goes, go look at it. And he's like, it's totally different than the way he is now. You just have to get in, do it, make your mistakes, and learn from it, and go. And that's what I try to tell a lot of people in social media, too, is like, social media is great because you can get in the space, you can play, unless you have a major mess up. No one's really going to know. I was like, they'll remember a little bit, but they're not going to remember you misspelled something like in a Facebook post. They're not going to remember something you did wrong unless it's like Motrin's moms or something like that big.
Then we have a long memory, don't we?
Then it's a long memory, but just, it's like you can get in, you can play, you can make your mistakes, you can have fun with it. And it's like, don't get upset, because that's what I do with my podcast. I go back and listen and edit, and it's like, okay, here's what I need to improve on for the next one. So
you learn on the job. I mean, that's the way it goes. You learn on the job.
definitely. So we'll wrap it up here. I know you have to get going. But if you can't, tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
The best place to find me is on my website, daisywhitney.com, and that has links out to This Week in Media. You can see all the most recent episodes of the new Media Minute there. You can, you know, follow my blog and information on my book and just on the other projects that I'm doing. I do a lot of conference planning and programming for iMedia and AdTech and many other ventures. So I try to stay busy. I do answer emails, and I always look at my replies on Twitter, and I'm Daisy Whitney on Twitter. So thank you for having me on, Tim. Well, it was a lot of fun. I love chatting with you.
Thank you. You too. And everyone, just pay attention for another podcast. And before I go, I'll say, yes, she does reply and on Twitter and email. So I can vouch for that. So.
Thank you. You got my back.
Hey, thank you again. Thank you for listening to Marketing Elements Podcast. You can reach me at tim@marketingelementsblog.com. You can find us on the web at marketingelementsblog.com. Look for us on Facebook or find us on Ning. It's marketingelements.ning.com. Thanks again, and we'll have another podcast out to you very soon.